Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum. This is issue 90, 10 away from the triple digits. We have been gunning for that, and we're still going for it. And, of course, we do this every week, myself, Michael, and Kane off to my right.
Hello.
Touching his stuff. You've
touching my stuff. Nobody touches my stuff.
So you're over there touching your stuff.
I'm just trying to adjust my stuff, man. I just want to make sure we sound good and...
That's right, folks. We got Kane live adjusting his junk right here.
Nobody wants to see me adjusting.
Nobody else can.
Nobody wants to see me adjusting my junk.
So, guys, well, welcome to Heroes Asylum again. Like I said, issue 90. We want to thank you guys for tuning in, checking us out. If you are on our podcast, thank you guys for downloading us, subscribing. We are in the midst, Kane does not realize this, I've been doing some things in the back end, but we are in the midst of moving everything around to where everything will be basically going out of one location. Beforehand, we had one feed coming out of one host, and then another host was doing this show. I've now merged them together to be under one individual host, and soon... Very, very soon, within weeks, you will be able to also find the Midnight Movies on Apple, as well as a whole plethora of other places, Google, Spotify. Yeah, you will be definitely be able to see the Midnight Movies there. Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies, not Midnight Movies. There is another group out there.
Yeah, there's another.
Make sure you guys look for, just Heroes Asylum Midnight Movies. And of course, that's going to be making some changes here at the beginning of the new year. We're creeping up a month, less than a month away, or a month and a half away.
Month and a half from it.
So we're talking the new year. We're going to start a couple of new shows coming out for you guys. Movie reviews we're going to start doing. I'm also working on a music podcast as well, so you guys can check that out. But get the last thing out of the way. Make sure you guys, this within a month, actually, in December 5th, I believe it is, 4th and 5th. Kaiser College here in Orlando, Florida, we will be live at the Kaiser Con number 2. So if you guys are interested in stopping by, seeing Kane and I, saying hi, checking out everything else they got there, they're setting it up, they're spreading it out across the whole campus this year to make sure everybody is safe. They are, you know, requiring face masks, but... The show is going on. You not only will have us there as a podcast, you will also have the Traveling TARDIS, which is it's a Doctor Who podcast. They'll be out there. You're going to have a bunch of cosplay groups out there. I believe the 501st is going to be out there.
The 501st is going to be there. I'm checking it out right now, actually.
I think there's a Pika. I can never get her name right. Pika is something or other, but she drives around in a Volkswagen. There's a Pikachu.
Who is that? Pika?
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but she's got a whole bunch of stuff out there. There's great little shops that are gonna have there, plus a lot of writers, some independent writers, comic book writers, and novel writers. So if anybody's interested in checking any of that out, please do, because we will be there, and we're looking forward to it. I can't wait. This has been a dream of ours since day one, starting the podcast and the show here, so we're finally going to get to it.
I can't wait. The first one was in March. Then everything happened. The whole world collapsed. And now, go figure, you know, not to get political or anything, but things have cleared up a little bit. And now we're going to do it December 4th and 5th. I'm actually looking forward to it. Like, I was nervous the first time. I mean, I don't think I told you this. I got heaves like the night before we were supposed to go. I got really sick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. Like, because I was nervous, like, you know, because the inception of this was the whole point was to do the cons. But when you told me that we got accepted so quickly, I was like, whoa, okay. So this is real.
Yeah, no, I jumped on it as soon as I heard. I'd gone to the last year's con and it was pretty fun. Like I said, it's very small, very intimate. So you get you got a chance to talk to a lot of people. But this year, you know, when I saw them announce for the second one, I was like, no, I got to hop on that. I talked to the lady. She explained everything. Actually, it was Carlos, the gentleman that did the artwork for our logo, which also is aptly named Carlos. I actually ran into him at a convention out in Kissimmee, and I had never met the man before. And we sat down and talked, and I asked him about it because he had a booth all by himself. I'm like, man, you're all by yourself. What's this cost? And he ran through the prices with me, and I was like, oh, that's not too bad. We can swing that. And this one was even cheaper than the one he had. So I was like, oh yeah, we can definitely swing this one. And again, just get our toes out there. See if everybody, you know, if anybody shows up, if we even like doing it, we may not like it. We may think it's a miserable time, but I don't think we will.
I don't think so. There's a lot of people out there who are kind of like-minded people.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I can't foresee us, you know, poo-pooing on KaiserCon. I just can't. And plus, the venue, I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off. The venue over there is really nice. I think I told you that month I took a Friday off and I went there, just walked around. And really nice place. It's a college, if you guys didn't know. But really nice setup. And I could see how they're going to do everything over there. And it's going to be a nice little setup. I can't wait. So
yeah, they do other conventions, not just this kind of convention. Mm-hmm. They do other ones as well. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. So making sure you guys get out there. Check us out. Again, it's Friday. We're going to start, I think it's 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It starts on Friday till 8 or 9.
I think it's 9.
And then we're back Saturday morning at 9:30, 10, I believe. And that's going to take you all the way up to the afternoon around 4. So you guys get out there. You have your chance to pop in and see. We definitely have gotten some confirmation from some of our friends and some of the listeners. So we're happy to know that we are going to get some out there. But anybody else that just happens to come across us, just check it out.
Yeah, come in, say hi, sit down, talk some stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff, we've got another passing, unfortunately. This one came to us today. Not really fitting into our genre, but to me, most people don't realize it. My family's had cancer in my family. There has been cancer, and my father actually had passed away from pancreatic cancer. So I always like to take a chance to bring attention to it. But Alex Trebek, best known for doing the Jeopardy talk show or game show, the longest running host. Actually, he beat out the Price is Right host. Just drew a blank on him. Not Alex Trebek, sorry.
What show?
The Price is Right, the original
one. Oh, that's Bob Barker.
Bob Barker, thank you. Sorry, I just kept thinking back to Happy Gilmore.
Price is wrong, Bob! Bob,
yeah. But he's also been, he was on for Wizards of Odds, Double Dare, High Rollers, Battle Stars. He's been around for a while, to tell the truth. He also, in his younger days, did a local show for music, for like a music show. So, just wanted to, put that out there. He'd been battling pancreatic cancer for about 2 years. It is a very, I'm not shying away from any of the other cancers, but it is a very tough cancer. Like I said, my father battled it for 6 years. It's just definitely something I'd like to draw attention to. And again, he's an icon. Really, when you look down to, at what his career has been, for so long, he's not only is, his work in that entertainment field, but he's also he had three children. One of them was adopted, a shout out to what he does and how he did it. I thought he always Music Hop. That's the name of the one that he was doing, Canadian music program. So if any of you guys are able to boot it,
a little there.
Definitely want to put a shout out to him. He was a fixture in my home growing up in the 7 o'clock hour for us.
7:30 for our
7:30. That's right. I knew it was around.
It was basically the same time. I mean, we basically broke a half hour off. Big impact, tough loss. Big bag of wind, as you would say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, have you heard the news about the Star Wars, the Russian Dolls creators' new series?
Yes, they've been working on a little bit. Yeah, they're apparently working on this. It's gonna be female-led series.
Why
not? I mean, I'm not gonna poo-poo it.
So. I mean, anything so far external from the main series, I know, and I'll even throw movies in there, even Solo and Rogue One. To me, just added flavor, added something more to the world. You throw Mandalorian in there, so anything more that's not the Skywalker saga or the the family problems, Skywalker, the Maury Povich.
The worst family in all of the galaxy.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of interested to see which route she goes. I didn't see the Russian Doll, so I can't speak to how this is going to be. But, yeah, it will be a women-led Star Wars, which, when you really look at the most recent Star Wars other than Mandalorian, the last saga, the last trilogy, was very strongly female-led. When you look at, not just Rey, but you look, led by also Leia. Before she passed away, and then
Rogue One, Jyn Erso, Felicity Jyn Erso.
So, yes, we are in a very heavily led, women in Star Wars and sci-fi for that matter, really, when you want to look at it. But I think it'll be interesting to see which route they go. I know there's going to be some diehard Star Wars fans out there, the grumpy old men that are going to, why we got to have this? It's, guys, we're a different world, different, you know, everybody's getting their chance now. I remember one of our friends, like, literally, I thought he was going to pop a blood vessel about Rose when she, you know, she first came out and everything about that. And I thought she was a good character. I think her story, just like that of
Finn's,
was kind of wasted. Like, there was not enough growth, I don't feel, in either one of those characters. But I liked the fact that they were there.
Good characters, just they didn't do anything with them. That's the big problem they had. I think that's the big problem that we can say about this new series, trilogy series from Disney, is they started off great. Depending who you are, you know, with the second movie, you know, that's a totally different thing. The third one I did not like at all. I thought it was just a waste. But they had good characters. We can't say that they didn't. A lot of good characters, even the supporting ones. The main ones are great, but the supporting ones are just as good. Just didn't flush them out. Didn't give that much to do. Like, started off fantastic. Like, if you think about the concept of having a stormtrooper betray the Empire to go to the Rebellion, I mean, that in itself. And then you had some stormtroopers who were like, in the third movie, that's kind of like the only one of the few things that I did like, is he met up with other stormtroopers who betrayed the Empire. Right. And I was like, hey, man, you know, we did this because of you. There's a story right there. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff. It's just, you know, wasted opportunities. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
I feel.
And I think the character in The Mandalorian, I can't remember her name, the gunner that was in the first season. We haven't gotten a chance to see her yet in the second season.
Yeah, is that Gina Carano's character?
Yeah, Gina Carano, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was trying to remember her character's name.
Cara Dune.
Yeah, but even there, you're looking at an extremely strong character. I mean, if you want to talk strong and physical – and attitude, that's awesome. I love Herbie for that fact. And there's something still sensual about her as well. You know, she's not just this beast of, you know, I'm going to break you. Yeah, she's not like the character.
Can you do that voice again?
What? No, I can't. she's not. I mean, she is in a way similar to the character she played in Deadpool. But there was a soft moment with her and Colossus. Yeah, you know, when her boob popped out, and he's like, "Oh, hold on now, yo."
Hello there, your boob is out.
Oh, you're so sweet, wham! But so there's, you know, there is that. But you know, I think a better, I hate to say this, God, I'm so sorry, guys. I think better written, female led story will be better, I think, than what we got. I do. There were a lot of issues with the last trilogy in the writing style and certain things that happened. And I think if they spend more time and really concentrate and focus on it, and I think they, because it's going to be a series, I don't know if it's going to be a mini series, a new word I thought we would never say again in entertainment, but the mini series is coming back. I think that would be, I think if they could spend more time instead of the, you know, the 6 hours they spent with In New Hope, you know, they can, or not New Hope, but in the last, you know, the last trilogy, instead of the 6 hours they spent or so, they can now spend 12 to 13 hours.
Yeah.
Double that time fleshing out those characters and giving, showing growth, not instantly being able to do something, but explaining, hey, this is why we're able to do this. I think that was one of the biggest complaints I think I heard from the old guard of the Star Wars fandom, was that there was just two things just happened so quickly. There was no explanation. And I think maybe that'll satisfy that. Well, we didn't see Leia get trained. I know that was the biggest argument we had with our friend Steve. You know, well, just Leia didn't get trained, but we didn't see Luke get trained either. We saw him get trained for a Rocky style montage, basically. And that was about it, but we didn't see him get fully trained, but we're okay. And we accept that he's a master now, mm-hmm. But folks had problems accepting that Leia was was somewhat of a master Jedi. Maybe a junior master Jedi, but they're like, well, we didn't see her go through the training. We didn't see a lot of shit happening.
Yeah, I was okay with that, though. I was kind of like, we always talked about things that happen off screen. I was okay with the Leia thing being off screen. Like, and I mean, they showed a little bit of it in Rise of Skywalker, and then the reason why she left her training. You know, she had a vision of her son, and
That was the problem, is that we didn't see it before we saw her using the Force.
Yeah.
I know it was in like a retrospect. They're like, oh, by the way, yeah, here we do get a chance to see her training.
I didn't mind it. Some things better left unsaid, man. Like, the cool things is, like, you know, the things that you create in your own mind. Like, oh, well, I wonder how her training did. Like, who was she trained by? Was it Luke? Where did they go? Were they in Dagobah? Like, would they do the old stone thing? Like, just speculation. I don't need to see it.
No, that, and again, that was like, I think one of the biggest arguments I had. We, you know, and if you guys want to hear one of those arguments, you can definitely tune into the Midnight Movies.
I got the Midnight Movies, the Star Wars edition.
Yeah, the Star Wars. Which one was it? Which one did we figure
I
out? Was that?
I think it was. Was it Jedi?
I can't remember if it was Jedi or New or.
Or the first.
Or no. I don't think it was I don't think it was original. I think it was on the sequels when we were watching that. But I think it was The Force Awakens. Yeah. I think that's when we had our conversation. And
We did not have him for Last Jedi. I know that.
Yeah. So yeah, there was a because that should have happened. I wanted that to happen, but
we can always do a rewind.
We can. We can always do a revisit or a remix version
remix,
of that.
Remix version. Yeah.
But so yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Again, to me, more Star Wars. And then there's the rumor. I have not seen a article yet, but I have heard a lot of rumors. Because, okay, guys, plug your ears. If you have not started watching Mandalorian, plug your ears. Give us about a minute.
Earmuffs, guys.
Yeah. Something happened at the very end. Well, maybe I can just go it that way. Something happened at the very end of the first episode, and we saw somebody. Well, there's rumor, but I've yet to see an article of it. Just rumor, running around the Reddit, pages and the blogs about a miniseries for this character. And what do you think about that? Did you to me? I'm going to tell you what I think real quick, and you can go from there. I go back to what you just said, that I don't need to see. If I hear about it in flashbacks, which I'm hoping we're going to see more of that character this season. If we get flashbacks, maybe if they even do one episode about him in a flashback that, of what he did, I think I'd be okay with just that, not a whole miniseries.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you 100%. I wouldn't mind that at all. To get on the episode, to be honest, I mean, I'm sure we're going to talk about it now. One of the things I've always stressed to you or talked to you about, especially in our days in the Winchester, when you go up there, we have a couple cocktails and, the mind starts going, creativity. The one thing they do, and I think we both agreed on, this is one of the few things we actually agree on, is simple storytelling. Simple. Keep it simple, stupid. That's always been my cue. It's always been one of my sayings, and I think yours as well. And what The Mandalorian does is they take just simple stories, basically run of the week. I said Kung Fu to compare. It's really Kung Fu in space. If you really get down to the bones of it, it's simple. You have surprises. If you guys didn't see this week's episodes, two X-Wing fighters show up. I thought that was kind of cool. Those pilots, and they'd say, hey, I forgot what they were telling the Mandalorian, like, oh, you got to put your beacon on. Like, oh, it didn't work back in the day. The Empire is like, things a little bit differently. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you're updating it now, letting us know that this is after the Empire had now fallen. And the Republic.
Well, we already know that. We know this is 5 years afterwards.
Like, just little things like that, I kind of like. I mean, we know what time they're living in, and I get it.
And I know I will put money on it. We're going to see those two guys again.
Yeah, I think so.
I put money on that those two guys will show up to repay, something.
They'll be back. It was cool. I liked their dynamic with the Mandalorian, and I mean the whole space spider. What did I say? Space spider. I'm
thinking. Oh, ice spider.
Ice spider.
I love that. I thought that was great. That was some of the best CG I've seen on that show. And I know what they do in production wise, and I think that was amazing. Apparently that was supposed to be an Empire, that spider or that character. Those spiders.
Was he supposed to be in the Wampa cave instead of the Wampa?
I don't know where it was supposed to be taking place. I just know that was taken from part of the script that got written out. That, hey, this idea of this ice spider, and I thought the ice spider was really cool.
It was it was a good look. I like all of them, especially when Baby Yoda ate one of them, and
What do you mean? Just
He ate the little, I mean, he was eating a lot of things.
Have heard a little kickback from social media about that. And it's making Baby Yoda less cute, that he's basically this ravenous creature now. I mean, we saw him first season one eat a whole frog, and now we've seen him devour how many eggs? There's no limit to what he will put in his mouth, basically.
Well, he's a baby. Like you just said, he's a child. So what do the children do? They put stuff in their mouths, man.
And I love the fact that they did really refer to him as the child.
Yeah.
The beginning of that episode, those two bounty hunters that were going after him, no, get the child. I was like, okay. They're not saying anything more than
I mean, I didn't mean to catch up. Even if you look at the action figure series, the Black Series, that's what he's called. He's called the child.
Well, he's called the child to us because we don't know a name, but I just like the fact that
People call him Baby Yoda. Just, oh, it's Baby Yoda.
I'm like, well, I'm just talking in the show. I like the fact that they refer to him as the child. The child. Not, I know what we call him as viewers and fans, but like I said, there was just no reference to that in the show and then until those two made that comment.
Yeah.
So I gotta say, I'm sort of proud of you. You are a person that is in a limited group now. Somebody that took place or did something that a very small group did, and unfortunately it tanked. Square Enix says HD gaming units loses $63 million after Marvel's Avengers, and you are the only person I know that has played it. they're saying that because of the profit and the lack of profit there, they lost. Hold on, sorry about that, guys.
What is that? Mike's got a phone call, guys. Hot date after the show.
There we go. Sorry about that. That was me. I don't know what happened there. I was sitting on that website for like, I don't know, 5 minutes and nothing ever played. And then all of a sudden the thing starts playing.
It just started to load. It reminds me of the E-Bomb. Remember E-Bombs back in the day? It was a similar website like that. You just stay on there and all of a sudden it would just load up.
If anybody's worried, that was for Sukuna. If anybody's interested. They were saying, you know, that they expected it to do better. And this was one of their biggest ones. During this time, the game business unit also included the Marvel's Avengers. I think you also played this one, or maybe not, the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have that.
Okay, yeah. So you were part of their little group, but they lost quite a bit when it comes to that. So, you know, when you're looking at the first quarter of the year, and then it dropped. Yeah, and I got to be honest, the game just didn't interest me. I take it back. I didn't play it. I did a walkthrough like on YouTube. You can go onto the YouTube and watch a couple. I think Bad Brad is the one dude I really like to watch on YouTube where he does kind of a walkthrough and Rad Brad. And he does a walkthrough, and I've always enjoyed watching him do that and, you know, just his chit-chatting. And yeah, I watched him do the Avengers, and I just was not interested at all. It just seemed too confined. To me, I would almost – in this day and age with Grand Theft Auto and with, you know, games like Crackdown and you look at Red Dead, you figure they would go more open world instead of having to be as – it was a very linear game if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, no, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, I just – you would think in this day and age they could get away with that kind of technology.
I agree with you. It's not as open as you would think it would be. I think it would be much cooler if it's a much more of an open world game. Like, this is one of the big things why people love the Batman games. The Batman games, if you think about it, yes, they're focused in a, you know, in Gotham, but it's basically an open world, open city game, you know. And the Avengers game, although I liked it, didn't love it, I liked it. It was too linear in its patterns. Like, you know, they had the main story, then you had these other stories, and then it's just like, I don't know. To me, sometimes when you make a game like that, you should just go for broke. I'm shocked they didn't have anybody work with them in the studios, you know, because you could put a lot cooler stuff in there. Like MODOK, to me, doesn't interest me as a villain, you know, especially as a big villain. It's like, you know, don't be too clever. I mean, you have Marvel. You can put so many villains in there. You didn't have to put MODOK in there. Like MODOK, I was like, MODOK.
Yeah,
I kept thinking like, okay, we're not gonna do Thanos, but what? Let's do Galactus or do Nihilus.
Yeah. You gotta think Galactus and something like that's more of a Fantastic Four villain. They probably were looking more into the Avengers. Avengers have already had Ultron, so I don't think they were. They should have done something more for, you know, the Avengers. You know, they should have rehashed an Ultron, or should have rehashed, you know, Thanos in some way, and not, you know, maybe not him actually being there, but maybe thinking that he was back and showing, you know, his remnant of his army is, you know, was still there.
Yeah,
some of the lieutenants cool that were in his army were coming back for vengeance and gone that route. But yeah, again, I think it was more just the gameplay. I know I had issues with, because I'm a big, huge fan. I think you probably know, but you know, when I do play a game, I'm big on the Grand Theft Auto. I'm big on the open world, you know, areas.
I have somebody who loves Grand Theft Auto. I mean, I'm going to get the new one. I think it's coming out next year. Excuse me. I had a little bump in my throat. But any of those open world games always interest me. This, too linear, like you just said before. And I know they're adding, they're thinking, oh, we're going to add Spider-Man and all these other characters coming next year. But guess what? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Nobody cares now.
Even speaking of Spider-Man, look at the last Spider-Man game. You know, that was open world.
Look at the new one. The new one coming out. Look at the review. I read the reviews, and they say it's better than the last Spider-Man game. Miles Morales.
This is when I went to go buy my game, and I'm sorry, I might lose. I don't know if people like me on this or not, but I was on the fence. I'm a PS4 and an Xbox, or a PS and an Xbox user. I've done both. All right, I grew up on PS. In my late 20s, I jumped over to Xbox because I had friends that wanted to play games online, and only they. So I had to, they only had the Xbox, so I had to buy an Xbox, and I became an Xbox fan there. I enjoy both of them. Both the controllers, you just have to relearn the buttons. But when it came down to it, that was the big thing. When I got this go around, I decided which one do I want to go with. Did I want to go Xbox One or did I want to go PS4? And the biggest thing was the Spider-Man game was my coin toss. And when I sat down and watched it again, I went online, checked out Rad Brad and a couple of the other guys.
You should take a Markiplier's another good one too.
He may be one of the ones. I just Rad.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Rad, saying Brad, he's just another
I just
one
loved his name. Like, that one just so that's why it sticks in my head
Rad
so much.
Rad Brad.
Yeah, and
like fraternity brother.
He's pretty much Rad what Brad. He is. Kind of. That's kind of what he is.
Rad Brad.
To be honest. But when I sat and watched it. And I'm probably going to get some hate on this. You probably will hate me too. What I saw was no different than any of the other Spider-Man games. Just better graphics, a little bit better story. But the gameplay, in essence, was the same. You go around the city. Somebody might be needing some help. You drop down. You help them out. Beat up and throw a couple of guys around. And then you're back onto whatever story you're trying to finish up. Didn't see much growth. And which is fine. That's a great game model because they're still doing it from the early 2000s when, the original Spider-Man came out. Mm-hmm. That's the game my son and I would play. That's where he became a huge Spider-Man fan because that's what was coming out in his time. And we would play that game all the time together. But that was my biggest factor. I was like, man, yeah, that's great. It's just the same. Other than the fact if I had VR, maybe go that route, but that's why I went.
I'm going to agree with you to a point. You're right. It's basically the same thing, swinging around a city, saving an old lady from a cat, little side missions here.
Saving an old lady from a cat? What kind of cat? Fuck, man? Did I miss the storyline?
You did. Nothing but the big monster cat. Anyway, but he's swinging around the city. He's going through the side missions and all that. You're exactly right. The difference between this game and those games is the fighting style. That's the one thing I'll fight you on. The fighting style in this Spider-Man game, I'm a huge Arkham fan, and they basically took that module.
It's definitely there.
The fighting style is amazing. Yes. Is it the same exact game like the other Spider-Man games? Yes. Even like tons of them. They're all the same.
But to me, that's what makes me – to me, it's not about the fighting style because the fighting style becomes redundant because you're doing that every time you run into a bunch of guys. Yeah. To me, it's how to – what's the journey you take to get to the fighting?
I like
and
the
story. And
that's
what – still the story was good. Again, just it was still the same game. You said it's Spider-Man with Arkham fighting, and that was – that was okay.
The Arkham fighting games are –
Oh yeah, I've re-downloaded on Xbox and their Game Pass. I downloaded the Arkham Knight again. I was like, oh man! Other than me driving around like an idiot, that's the best part of the game.
I have to make sure I win the lottery next year so I can buy you and I PS5 so we can play Gotham Knights together because it's a multiplayer platform.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
So I'm thinking co-op. Like, ooh man, I could see it now: Red Hood and the Nightwing taking down people in Gotham City. That's what I'm going to choose. I'm choosing Red Hood. I know you're going to choose Nightwing.
Oh, yeah. Well, Nightwing or Robin. Speaking of villains, do you hear the Grindelwald? Johnny Depp has stepped down from the Fantastic Beast third movie? I don't want to call it a sequel.
The third one, yeah.
Yeah, I know it's the third one, but it's apparently he has stepped down because of everything that's been going on with him and his ex-wife during the court hearings, and some things have come to light. It wasn't him that being resigning. It was actually WB requesting him to resign. They actually came to him last week and said, hey, you might want to. And so this past week, he decided, he's just going to go ahead and resign. Now, are you a fan of these movies?
I like them.
Not the Harry Potter, so the Fantastic Beasts.
I like them. I don't love them like the Harry Potter ones. The Harry Potter ones had much more of a story. Like, these ones are before Harry Potter, so it's kind of like tough to follow. I think it's more about the relationship between Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
Well, that's a very small part of it right now. So, that came in the second movie that we saw that in the first movie that really wasn't.
I mean, they're okay. I mean, I mean, him leaving sucks.
Yeah.
Because I thought he just hit his stride in that second movie. I thought he was.
Well, that was the first movie he was actually in. Yeah. Because in the first movie, we didn't see his real face until the last two minutes of the movie. So, yeah, that was his first time being in that role. So there are talks right now. You know, there are about 9 actors that have been come up to take his place. If you remember the movie, Colin Farrell played the original look. So that's not too hard to go back to and
you basically just said it. I mean, it's a world full of magic, right? Why can't he just put like a magic, say, hey, guess what? That's not really who I am. It was always me like this.
Yeah.
It's a real quick fix. Saying Colin Farrell is great, by the way. So
yeah, I mean, he did great in the first movie. I loved him in there. There's talk about a couple of rumors, or not rumors, but, you know, folks like giving a suggestion, maybe bringing Robert Downey Jr. to turn around and do a villain.
I think I could see that. He's probably dying to do something else.
Something a little fresh, yeah. And I mean, he is stepping into a ready man fan base. It's not like he's starting something new. He can pretty much step in, and, you know, there is that Potter fan base. Excuse you. And the Potter fan base is huge. I mean, not just with this movie. There's if you guys ever go to Pottermore.com, there are fan art and fan literature approved by J.K. Rowling's all herself. So it's all it's all considered canon in if it's on Pottermore. And there's also one that I downloaded the series of one of our friends, Cindy. She's a huge Harry Potter fan, and she sent me the link to it's the James Potter, his father, his stories when he went to school, and it's really good if anybody's interested in checking that out. Another one is Dan Stevens, Downton Abbey, Beauty and the Beast.
Dan Stevens can do no wrong. Ooh, man.
Another fan favorite of yours.
I like Dan Stevens.
Another fan favorite of yours, Mr. Michael Shannon.
Another good one.
I mean, he's played a villain before, and probably one of the best ones in my book.
Oh, have you seen him in a movie called Iceman?
No.
He plays I forget the killer's name, but it's one of the most legendary killers.
Oh yeah, the Iceman. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Okay, so he actually plays him.
Yeah, plays him.
I could definitely see that. Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, I've watched a few of his documentaries about that particular.
The way he got into that role and just dug deep in there. I mean, because it's easy, like, oh, I'm a killer, yes, but no, with this character, you had to dig really deep.
Well, look at what he did in The Kitchen. I thought he did great.
Oh, he was great. Yeah, to me, he can do no wrong. I mean, the actors you're mentioning so far, I mean, really.
Well, the other one falls under another great DC villain, Tom Hardy.
I mean, like I said, you can pick and choose. I mean, it depends which one's schedule is going to clear up and who's going to accept it. I mean,
the other one, this one I thought was kind of strange because there's a very strong comparison to him and one other character in there, but Adam Driver. But him and Ezra Miller to me look very similar in their characterizations
that one,
in that.
That's not a bad one though.
And here's a name you haven't heard from in a while. Somebody threw this one out there, and I was like, what? Hugh Grant.
Yeah, I could see it. You've seen The Gentleman, right? The latest one from this guy. He used to be Madonna's husband.
Oh, yes. Guy Ritchie, yeah. I did see that, yeah.
Watch that movie, because he is, to me, first of all, unrecognizable, and he's great.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture here of him doing that. Yeah, and it's
not even the look. It's just like that. And plus, Man from U.N.C.L.E., he was awesome in too. Yeah, the guy's really turning around. Like, he was like that heart-throbby guy, but now he's older, and he's doing more of these more stoic, serious roles, kind of like that. And I could definitely see him on there. But that whole list, if you're going to put a gun to my head and tell me who to pick, I'm taking Dan Stevens.
Well, now, what about the last two? We've got – what about James McAvoy? Or – and this one's an interesting one to twist it up and change it. Tilda Swinton.
Ooh, okay.
that was the last one on the list. I'm like, yeah.
I could see it.
But then
that's going to take the whole thing away from Dumbledore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's going to take the relationship away. It's going to twist it to be.
But man.
Yeah. So it's.
What have I always said about Tilda? What role could she play? And anything. I would not have a – well, literally, she can. She's not good. She's great. But I always thought, man, And even though we don't like this character too much anymore, we want him to put him away. Man, she could really pull off like that Elseworlds Joker. I would be dying to see that. Her and Jeffrey Dean Morgan doing that. Yeah. Man, that'd be so
definitely.
But, and like any of those actors on that list, but still, I'll take Dan Stevens. I love Dan Stevens. To me, he can do no wrong. I mean, besides him being in Legion and he was in Beauty and the Beast, you got to watch a movie. It's called, is it The Hunted? He's like an ex-Vietnam type of guy. He's coming into town. No, The Visitor or something like that. He comes into town, basically. Soundtrack is great, too. You should check that out. But he comes into town, and apparently he's like a friend of the son's family, and he's a good dude, but you find out some stuff is going on, and it's really good. Really, really good. I'd recommend that if you haven't seen anything, Dan Stevens. Check that out. I think it's a Visitor or Visit. I forget. I know it's something with a Visitor. Are you looking it up?
No, I'm not. Sorry. We had a message in the chat, so I thought I'd say hi.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice. It's one of our former somebody that popped in here before.
Oh, okay. Hello.
I think any of them will. I think any of them will do.
Oh, well, what do you think? If you had a gun to your head.
I'd love to just see Colin Farrell come back. I think it would be an easy fix. You know what? I changed my look. Hey, guess what? I had to go back to my old look because, now people are after me. So let me go back to a different look. I think that would be the smart thing to do.
It's a quick fix.
I would love to see, other than the fact of them changing the sexual orientation of it, Tinda. Sorry. Just hands down, anything she has ever done, I've always loved.
I cannot argue with that. Can't argue with it, brother.
So, CW news.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a couple things, actually, from the CW. Looks as though there is talks going on that Mr. Stephen Amell's not too happy with CW.
And, yeah, I read that. Yeah.
Did you read that?
Yeah, I did. From they used to call it the Arrowverse. Now they're just calling it the CW-verse now, which is... You know, whatever. I think he was tongue in cheek about it.
Yes and no, because there's talk that he's been wanting to try to write himself in to do like some appearances. I mean, the one I was reading.
Well, you know, the multiverses are in DC, so why not? I mean, I think the Arrow character for now is kind of like they should just put a lid on it for a little bit. You know, wait till you miss him, then bring it back. It's kind of like a lot of these series are ending now. Like we had Arrow end. Supergirl coming up is going to end. Those shows are going to be done, but I don't think those characters are done. I think you'll see them come back, like maybe in crossovers, special guest appearances. They'll never leave.
Well, again, like we say, nobody ever dies except for Uncle Ben. So, you know, that
and that used to be three people, by the way.
Yeah, it used to be three people, but right now it's only Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben hasn't come back yet.
And Uncle Ben's got a gray area if you count restarts, but.
Yeah, a lot of restarts.
There's talk. I think it's also the fact that, not saying he's getting bored with his life, but that routine's no longer there. I mean, we're talking, 8 years he was doing this show? That routine for 8 years, and now you don't go to the studio anymore. Well, you don't go to where you used to work. There's a bit of an emptiness going on there, and then I think he was also a little butthurt, too, because he was so huge in this – in that world and created that world, really. I mean, other than the fact that it was, you know, really generated from Smallville, but he was the seed that this whole thing has been planted on. And not only the seed that this whole thing's been planted on television, but also that's drifted over to the streaming services. And now it's also drifted over to touching the movieverse. So in essence, you know, his character and his show was really a catalyst to start these things rolling. I know there were writers, producers, you know, showrunners and all that involved, but he was the face.
He's the face,
of it. And honestly, you can have the best showrunners, the best writers, the best producers behind you, but if you don't have the right face and the right cast to do what you want to do, it's a crap show. We've seen it before. We've seen it in movies. Man, what a great script. But that love scene or that couple that were cardboard, you know, speak about it, you know, and Star Wars. I mean, that's, you know, a huge one where you look at the chemistry between two people just made a love story that should have been a love story for the ages, really just boring and became a joke, really, in our community.
Yeah, there was no chemistry, and you need that face. And I would love to see him come back, but I think he's filming a TV show that I told you he's doing, Heels. It's a wrestling TV show because he's a big wrestling mark.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys didn't know that, he's a huge wrestling fan. He was, I think he was in an AEW pay-per-view a couple years ago, and he was in a WWE pay-per-view a couple years before that. So he's a huge wrestling fan. So he's got that going on. From what I heard, the door is always open for him to come back. So if he gets bored, who knows? Maybe he'll get on the Salmon ladder and start working out again. And
I'm sure he hasn't gone to Flab yet. So
I'm sure he has. I'm thinking actually about buying the Salmon ladder.
His
house. I've been questioning if I can
videotape it for us when you start using it, because I got a blooper reel I need to put together.
Put the blooper reel from last night. Oh boy.
Oh man. But so there's talk of him wanting to come back. And again, I'll use your comment. Oh, an actor wants to work. Yes, an actor wants to work. But I think this actor wants to work, and this is kind of the same situation we talked about last week. This actor has time in invested into this character, and I think the same thing with, like, we were talking about last week about Rogue One actress wanting, you know, saying
Felicity
she feels
Jones,
she feels like she has unfinished business there, and you can kind of do the same thing. Yes, 8 years compared to the maybe 2 years that she was connected to that character, much different. But I think sometimes, you know, when you're done with it, you have, there's a mourning period, you know, of you know, hey, I am no longer that person. You know, yes, it was an act, but if you ask most actors, those characters become part of them, and them part of that character.
Well, you got to remember, Steven was the one that wanted to leave too.
Yeah. Guess what? We've all chosen to leave something, and as soon as we're out the door, we're like, fuck, what'd I do?
What did I do?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay. He has a little bit of regret, but I think the door is always open for him to come back. So never say never, especially when it comes to the CW-verse.
Speaking of CW-verse again, while the CW's newest addition to the Arrowverse, we're talking about Superman and Lois, a writer calls out the Arrowverse series for being let go. And basically she was saying that she was let go because of this, the flagging of hashtag MeToo jokes and defending the Bechdel test to guarantee proper female representation in the storyline, saying to fight to ensure that only black faces on screen aren't villains, that she felt like they were focusing more on worrying about that than worrying on the storyline, which something that you and I know I've talked about it, is like, yes, great to bring in black characters, great to bring in different, we want more flavor in the cast, definitely, but just don't bring them in just to have flavor. Bring them in and make sure that they're the right actors, and that change is meaning something. Just because you do that, you turn somebody, you know, you race change or race swap or gender swap somebody, that doesn't mean it's going to help the character. Sometimes that character should be that race or that sex, because and sometimes that's the core of the character. You know, we've talked about it, and I think we talked about it last week. You know, James Bond, the misogynistic pig he is, can't be played by a woman. It wouldn't come out right.
No, exactly. And when you bring in these characters in, make sure you have a good story for them too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. Yeah, you can bring them in and all that, and they can swap genders or whatever, but make sure there's a good story behind it. Don't bring them in there like, hey, he's here.
Yeah.
What is he doing? Oh, we don't know. You know, it's kind of like Poe and Finn, like a Finn. You know, oh, he's here. Great. What now? I don't know. Like, just, you know, make sure he has a good story behind
it. But yeah, she was one of the ones I was really happy to see when I saw the announcement of the Lois and Clark. It's Nadria Tucker.
Yeah.
She's from Krypton. She was one of the writers on Krypton. So that's when I saw her name attached as a writer, I was like, oh, okay, well, she's going to bring that knowledge and that. And you and I both love that show of
criminally backstory. Underrated.
Yeah. So, you know, when I saw that she was attached, I was like, oh, she's going to bring some, you know, different flavor to it and bring a certain vibe that we liked from here. I'm kind of curious once the show comes out, exactly what is being done or what was being done. It's definitely going to be something interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be a different take. I mean, we've seen many different takes in Superman, and now you're having another one. So it's going to be interesting to see how they go, especially fitting in the CW verse. Because basically, if you look at it, Supergirl leaving, Superman coming in. I mean, if you had, like, you know, you're basically, no offense, Supergirl fans, you basically had a B player, and now you're bringing in, you know, the A-plus player. So do you really need Supergirl? No, not really. And she was basically fighting the same villains.
She was. But again, to me, I always felt CW, I hate to say this, and I know you're a major CW fan, but to me, CW was always the B level. Mm-hmm. That was B grade, and that's what you should have. And that's why I always thought it was weird that if they would bring one of the Holy Trinity in, I think they should have found another character to bring in. You know, we got to see Black Lightning. We got to see, yes, Flash is one of the top ones, but he's, when you look at the Justice League, he's, you know, like fifth in line when they're talking about him. Mm-hmm. Arrow the same way. Yes, he's part of the Justice League, but he's the outer side of the Justice League. Mm-hmm. Supergirl, you know, those were all characters that were the B players. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they should stick to. I know this isn't going to be the Superman and Lois and that I'm hoping for. I think it's going to be more CW-esque. We already know it's coming because it is on CW, but I think it's going to focus more on family and that instead of being a superhero show like we would like. But that's one of the reasons why I've been like so bad about, you know, I don't want them to bring a Batman in. Because they're not going to treat him right. You're going to get the emotional Batman. You're going to get him dealing with his relationship with Vicky Vale, then more than him in the Batcave under the cape and cowl. And I don't think you want to see that as a Batman fan.
No, I don't. Yeah, exactly. I've seen too much of that.
So, do you have anything?
I was I don't have a lot, but I did have something I stumbled on to a couple nights ago. I took a couple days off of work because I had to. And I stumbled onto something called Spectre Creative on YouTube, and I went down a rabbit hole. And you know how big, and we—I think you watched the show on Netflix, Where the Toys Came From, whatever, the one you were telling me about.
Yes.
I watched it. So the guy's name Spectre Creative. He was a production manager for the MOTU line, Masters of the Universe. If you don't know what that is, kids, he's part of the original line, and he was showing concept of what would have been the next line of MOTU. It was fascinating. Basically. Like the way that he was wording it was like, you know, they had like this first series of He-Man, a second series. There was going to be a third one. He-Man was still going to be there with Skeletor, but they were introducing like these newer characters. And the main character, get this, was called He-Ro. H-E-R-O. He-Ro. The most powerful wizard in the universe. And they were showing all these concept designs and these like molds that they actually had some of them that were released. I mean, some of them are out there. If you look at it, like,
well, they released the line in 2008, I believe, is when they finally did the line for He-Ro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that
fascinating characters, man. Like they had like these two giant characters that were going more to like a dinosaur type of thing. I was like, ooh, that would have been pretty cool. And then they had this one playset, which when I saw it, I freaked out. Like the little kid in me was like, oh my God, how come I didn't get that? What it was called like the Towers of Eternia, and it had like it. I guess it's basically saying if you had Castle Grayskull and you had Snake Mountain, guess what? There's gonna be like another tower, and it's this big, gigantic Tower of Eternia. It had like a panther face on it, and you could somehow connect them all with these like little like wirings that go on, little vehicles that go back and forth, kind of like the things you see in like, you know, if you're riding one of those amusement park rides or going round and round. And I thought it was so freaking cool. I'm like, what the hell? But apparently, I guess the series got canceled and, you know, they had to hold out production. But, and like you said, they did release him. But like, wow, that would have been a cool way to go. And after that, he kept talking about like the next series that got released for the updated series in 2000. Those figures were spot on. Apparently, they had like these test groups. And the test groups came back saying, oh, we don't like He-Man basically wearing short shorts. So they basically had to armor him up like kind of like a gladiator style. So he had like these long, you know, kind of like armor wings on him too. I was like, wow, that's pretty dope. So yeah, like Spectre Creative, man, if you guys get a chance, watch him on YouTube and you're a big MOTU fan. He goes down rabbit holes of like these characters that were going to come out. Even the Space He-Man one, which was a series I totally forgot about where he's had like a little ponytail and bare chested. That was a weird one. But he goes on in some deep rabbit holes. I was fascinated just watching it. Like, wow, I couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah, if you guys also look at just check that stuff out on He-Man.wiki. There's a wiki out there, and they do cover He-Ro and his look and basically his backstory and what happened to him.
Yeah, but a cool character, man. It kind of shocks me that they haven't, you know, when I guess they're going to do that movie, which they've been talking about. I wouldn't mind if they threw some of those characters in there.
Well, Hero was supposed to be He-Man and Teela's son.
Was it?
Yeah, is what he was supposed to be. Yeah, that was the backstory to it. And that he got lost in some battle and crash-landed on this planet. And of course, you know, very Thundercats-esque, his villain, which was Skeletor in Weaver Shadow's son, is there. And they have to, like, he gets, like, a cringer, black cringer-type cat. And, yeah, it's kind of a little different.
Yeah, but the way he was doing it, like, then I guess they had comics of it too. It was really cool. Really cool stuff. He goes on deep rabbit holes, man. That's all I can say. Like, if you were like a collector and you got him when you were a young kid, he tells you about the original Castle Grayskull, how it had like a little latch in there you could put with the sword, but it didn't open. And now, like, He Man and Skeletor came with the two power swords and they came together to open up Castle Grayskull. Really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. Just check it out. Spectre Creative on YouTube.
Definitely, yeah. So I had one more thing. You know, of course, we had Halloween and we see all the cool, you know, celebrity Halloween, you know, people dressing up for Halloween. I found, I think, probably one of my favorite ones. I think I posted it this week. But we got to see Iron Man's daughter from the Avengers Endgame. She's all grown up now. It looks as though. And she dressed up as Rescue.
That was cool. I saw that.
When I saw that picture, I was like, oh, that's kind of heartwarming. But yeah, Lexi Rabi, who played Tony Stark's daughter, she's, when I say grown up, she's, I mean, older than what she was then. But yeah, so she to show honor and little fun to it, we got to see her dressed up as Rescue. Aww. And I thought that was really cool to see that.
Aww, that's cute. Honoring her mother, so. Yeah, it was cool to see that. I like when they do that. They're kind of like, hey, man, I came from this area, and, like, I'm a progressive rescue. That's a neat thing.
And all I like when they do that. Yeah, I like when sometimes when you see him dressing up in, like, their old characters. I think Nathan Fillion, you know, a few years back, he dressed up as in Mal's costume, you know. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite was in the show Castle. Him and his daughter, and he dressed up as Mal. And she's like, what are you dressed up as? He's like a space cowboy.
Boy.
And she's like, that's just, isn't that like so like 19, whatever. And she like busts him out on the year it came out. And he's like, yeah, so.
I love that show.
And I guess our last bit of information, a little bit comic news coming down. We all know that the new DC Universe stuff is getting ready to change as soon as we're going to have the Future Jump. What is it? A Future State event coming up.
Future State, which is
and then we're going to end with the Metal series. And apparently, right after that, everything's kind of this is their new 52. This is their rebirth. This is where they're going to start sort of over. And my eyeball started twitching when I read it. That basically, the move would make continuity less important and allow more creative freedom in storytelling. Me as a fan, I have stopped reading because of the less continuity already, and they're going to go more. You're kind of losing me and my interest because I'm already frustrated enough that which Superman am I reading about? Am I reading about this Superman or that Superman? What time? And same thing with any of the other characters. I don't know which one's which. And now you're going to go even less to basically say, okay, well, you can write this one book this week, and then next week somebody else is going to write a whole nother story, and it's going to be completely opposite of what happened. There's not going to be, again, no continuity. And us as comic book fans, we crave continuity. Yeah, we need to know the flow, the storyline. And all this is leading up to is another crisis that they're doing. I mean, they haven't named it a crisis yet, but really
it is
metal is a crisis. It's a metal crisis. And I think that's what they're doing. And I think they're making it, they're screwing it up and they're going the wrong route. You know, like I said, what they did to 52, I thought was great. They kind of mushed everything back together and made everything, you know, flowing again. And then they went crazy, which they all do. I mean, not just DC guys. Marvel does it too. Everybody, they all go crazy and everybody starts writing these, you know, awesome storylines. And then, okay, wait, we're all lost now. We got to go back to the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
And it just sounds like to me DC's just gonna mess it up again, and then we're gonna have to have another crossover,
another crisis event. Because that's basically what's happening in death metal now.
That's what I said. It's metal. Yeah, it's metal crisis.
Yeah, metal crisis. That's all it is.
Crisis of metal. Whatever.
Crisis of metal. Crisis of metal earth. Although there was one cool line in one of the comics that I read of Metal. It was a cool line by the Batman Who Laughs. He basically has all the power now. I mean, I don't like him being a god thing, but that's whatever. He did have one of the coolest lines at the end of the book. Basically, when he gets the power from the Mobius chair, he says, like, looks like this is going to be the last 52. I'm like, ooh, okay. Kind of cool, cool little line.
So, I mean, they are. I mean, yeah. Again, don't get me wrong. I do love my non-continuity stories, but they're pocketed. But I still can go. You know, if you look at anything in the Black Label, you look at Doomsday Clock, you look at the Three Jokers, those were all pocketed continuities. And they were great stories. And that's what we always love. We love those once a year, twice a year. We get this awesome graphic novel that's got nothing to do with the rest of the world. It's a palate cleanser to me. It's like, oh, okay, we're stepping away. And we understand that this is a continuity. That's something all by itself. This is in a bubble world. You know, again, the birth of the multiverses. Every time they do a small continuity, you know, non-continuity storyline, that's a new world created, and we love them. I'm a huge fan of the Black Label series, the Dark Knight series they have in there. Anything that has been on Black Label, I'm pretty much a fan, except for they started sprinkling too much Joker and Harley again. But before, when Black Label first started off, it was great. It was fresh. It was like, okay, this is something different. And if that's what they're going to start doing all the time, it sounds like they're not going to have a continuity. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to have, hey, you're going to have 5 books to write your own little story and just go with it. This is going to tie into nothing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, I just feel like that was always the nice thing, that everything tied itself together, mm-hmm. you know, in some way, somehow there was always a string of timeline. Now it's just going to be, hey, this story here on Flash, you know, for two, mm-hmm. these next 2 months could take place 50 years in the future. So.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. I said a whole thing. So, sorry about that. I didn't hear you. I lost your last part.
It's okay. But I was just saying that, yeah, they can definitely, I think they should just, you know, stick to the continuity, because then we all always had that, we knew this is what, where we were going, this is what happened to this character. Instead, it's going to be bubbled. You know, mm-hmm. 2 months, it's going to be Flash in 50 years in the future. And then the next Flash series, it's going to be him in the past. It's just, yeah, there's just no logic to it.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. You need a little bit of that continuity.
Yes.
Although I do like the crazy stuff, as you know. But
oh, yeah, me too.
You still need that continuity. Yeah. And I kind of don't like this. Like, oh, well, we can do anything now. Like, man, you got to have a little bit of, you know, you got to have a little bit of checks and balances, especially yep. in comics, man. You got to. You can't be just run all over the place and, like, nobody knows what the hell's going on.
That's pretty much what it sounds like they're going to be doing here after the Future State and then the end of the Metalverse.
Yeah. Goodbye, Metalverse. And yeah. December should be the last issue. So
I thought it was December, then they were going to do Future State, and then they were going to do a last run.
I thought Metal's going to end in December.
Okay, that
yeah, minor, and then yeah, my Future State's supposed to start in January.
Right, I think it was supposed to be Future State, and then, like, there was a month break, and then they were going to wrap up Metal. I thought that's what I had read a while ago.
I'll have to read it again. The last I read it was it's going to end in December, so.
Maybe they'll just leave you guys hanging, and then say, oh, whoop, there it is. Here's
Oops,
the newest one.
Oh. Look at issue number 8 of Metal.
Yeah. Maybe do a big omnibus with an extra, you know, storyline into it or something like that.
Maybe. Yeah.
But that is all I have. So, anything else from your
side? Oh, that's all I got, sir.
All right, perfect. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in, downloading, subscribing. Make sure you guys do check us out on our Facebook page. We will definitely have some new events coming up this week, some more news. We're less than a month away from, again, like I said, the KaiserCon. So make sure you guys check us out there. And check out the Midnight Movies. There's nothing coming out this week, guys, because we finished up our madness of the horror fest that was October. So we took a week off. We're going to get back into wrapping up we're going to start finishing up the last of the Infinity. I think we do the Infinity Saga this week, right? Or this month.
Yes, we do it this month. I think we picked the date already. I think we're going to do it Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's definitely on par. And then we got another movie coming out this week, this month. I think it's my pick. I got to remember which one I'm picking.
You're picking, yeah.
But yeah, so at least know we're going to have two movies out this week, this month. And we're also trying to gear into, we're probably going to drop a couple just to see how it works out. Some movie reviews. I know the first one we're going to do, we're actually going to do a review, because this is the time between Halloween and Christmas. Kane and I are going to do a review on Nightmare Before Christmas, another musical.
We just love
I don't know how that worked out. I didn't mean to choose a musical when you and I were talking. It just was like
they're gonna call us the musical asylum pretty soon.
It just sort of worked out. I was like, well, you know, it's in between Halloween and Christmas. That's what this movie is.
And put it to the left.
So, guys, make sure you guys do check that out when we do drop it. But you hop on Facebook so you can see all the latest news from us and when we drop new episodes. Kane?
Twitter at @TheHeroAsylum_podcast and Instagram at @TheHeroAsylum. Check it out over there, guys, and check out Midnight Movies. We haven't recorded anything lately, but there's a plethora, as Three Amigos would say, a plethora of things on there you can check out. All good things. Check it out. Pour yourself a beer and cocktail. Watch it. Watch the movie with us. And as always, from the mic, to me to you guys, get to the asylum.
Get to the asylum, el guapo.
El guapo.